Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
Ben.
And John.
And you know, people, on this show, we want to build bridges, not walls. So on that note...
We're getting right into politics.
No.
Oh, good. No. Oh, this will be lively now. In fact, I'm going to take an extra drink just because.
Put the booze away.
No.
Oh,
right,
man.
Right here next to me. Okay.
It feels like it's been a while since it's been the three of us.
It has been. Well, it's been rusty because we haven't had a lot to talk about because it's been sort of a slow year in our media topics.
Wait, I thought rusty wasn't until 2 weeks ago.
Yes, and we've been busy behind the scenes getting ready for our big live debut.
Yep.
Our primetime show-stopping singing and dancing number.
Yes. Yes. Still trying to convince John to shave his legs for the can number, and
you know, I think it gives it character, the fuzz.
When you have baby soft skin like me, any razor is going to leave a mark.
So what has been going on in the world of superheroes and media? Well, all the DC shows came back.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
So by the time this goes up, the day this goes up will be the second episode of Arrow. And I kind of found something. What?
It was a great episode.
I kind of found interesting where the direction they're headed with, and it's something I wanted to talk about because we haven't really talked about Arrow on the show other than when we talked about the finales.
Yeah. I think we should talk about this, but I think we should also talk about where they've already gone in the last week in this arena. So, and that's, we're talking about the whole Black Canary saga.
Right.
So they brought back, they with their cliffhanger, their mid-season, they left us, you know, seeing that somehow Laurel was back. And of course we learned pretty quickly in the new episode that it was actually their Earth 2 doppelganger, the Black Siren.
Yes.
And they had this whole, you know, dog and pony show going back and forth. Is she capable of being redeemed, or is she completely, you know, irredeemable? And you know, Ollie versus Felicity, you know, tag team battle. And I don't know. It annoyed me, honestly.
Well,
it got on my nerves.
Yes, I mean, just because anymore, Ollie and Felicity's relationship just gets on my nerves. Period. But.
But I wouldn't even chalk it up to that. It was like,
well, and but so
like,
I mean,
the state of their relationship is good right now.
But it feels like they're specifically putting them on the opposite ends of this issue.
Yeah, but my issue wasn't actually with either of them and the way they behaved.
Okay.
My issue was with the way that Laurel behaved, because she was playing this two-faced, you know, attitude where every time Ollie was around, there was this hint that there was a good streak there somewhere, that she was, you know, that she might be redeemable. Like, there was some hope. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she just needed the right prodding and the right people to believe in her. But any time that Felicity was around, it was, you know, the claws were out. And she was, you know, very much in a different stance. And some of those times overlapped, and yet Ollie still didn't see it. And that's what really... That just felt like sloppy writing.
Right. Well, I think the other thing that bugged me about that aspect of it is she could have just kept it going for a while and really screwed them over in the long run.
Yeah.
But because she let Felicity know up front, like, you know, she's still evil, it was like, oh, well, then, like, we know how this episode's going to end, you know?
Yeah.
And, well, we kind of did. Well... Actually, we knew how it was going to end. We didn't know they'd only take one episode to do it. I was actually really surprised they let it go. They took care of it that quickly.
If they can do Flashpoint in an episode, I think they can handle Black Siren in it.
Right.
Yeah, but the thing is that they could have It was probably because of what's her name? The one who plays Black Siren. My God, how quickly I've forgotten her now that she's not a regular cast member. But it's probably because she only signed on to do one. Yeah, she probably only signed in to do one episode. Otherwise, they, you know, it's a CW. They would have stretched this out with the evil twin for the rest of the rest of the season.
Well, that's the thing too, right? Because at the end, he doesn't take her to Blackgate. He says he's going to keep her close so he can keep an eye on her. And
right. So she could end up being like the new version of Andy in the cell.
Right.
Remember John Diggle's brother.
Right, right.
So it just shows up every once in a while in a cave somewhere.
But, you know, that's where Ollie pulled a John O'Grady, where...
Excuse me?
At the end of the episode, no matter... Even though she did all this evil stuff, even though she did all this evil stuff, he still went, maybe there's still hope for her.
Yes.
Sorry, I had to go there.
So yeah. So now that sets up for the arc for the next episode, where they're apparently doing this whole hunt for the new Black Canary.
Yes, which
I find odd because they've already there's already a new Black Canary out there.
Right, at the end of that episode.
Right. Like, that sort of feels like, I don't know, like they're putting their eggs in one basket, essentially. Like, they could have drawn this out, too. They could have made a thing where they were looking for just female vigilantes who were out there doing things, not necessarily someone who happened to have a sonic scream already on.
Yeah, top. How does that work?
Metahumans?
No, yeah, how do things work? How do magnets work, for that matter? No, it's...
It's all magic. So, yeah, it's a fair problem that we don't really have a good answer to. Like,
no.
They definitely seem to just sort of thrust us into this, you know, we're going to look for a replacement. And, oh, by the way, here's a replacement. It's already out there. Are they going to find each other? Who knows? Tune in next week.
Right, who has the power set without having the gear that Laurel had in this universe.
Is her name going to happen to be Dinah?
Yeah, but they already have the mother. Laurel's mother's name was Dinah.
And Laurel's name was actually Dinah. She just went by Laurel.
Yes.
Just like Star City went by Starling City for a while.
Yes. But that's my question. So, I mean, I know we've already delved into... areas that are stuff they made up for the show. It's the things that weren't true in the comics. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is... Now we're getting somebody who was established two times already on the show, and now we're coming up with a third identity, and it's an identity that doesn't exist in the comics, as far as we know.
Well, I'm sure that her origin is different. She got, like, bit by a radioactive speaker or something.
Well, there was briefly... The Artemis girl was briefly Black Canary for like an episode
last okay season. All right, that's right. So yeah, the fourth incarnation. You know, and that begs the question, like, he has a whole new team now. Do we need a Black Canary? Like,
well, we need another female character because they just one went evil on them, so.
Yeah, and apparently Felicity doesn't work for you, so
right. Although she's learning to punch now, which makes me think that somehow they're going to make Overwatch into a heroic character.
You know, not everybody has to do that. Seriously.
It's a CW show. She's going to do that.
I know. Everybody's got a punch. There's right. Not one person that can just be smart. I mean,
obviously what's going to happen is, since they did in the flashback scene, they introduced Talia al Ghul. She's going to show up in the present timeline, and she's going to train Felicity to fight.
And that's when I will stop watching.
You've heard it first, folks.
Didn't we already ruin the show with bringing Raj in?
One might say, but they kept going for a while after that. So,
and that version of Ra's al Ghul, or however you want to pronounce it, that version of him. That version of him sucked.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he was a wussy. Come on, nobody is supposed to beat him, and he was tactically speaking, he's the only person who could outthink him was Bruce Wayne.
Right. So, he was supposed to be both ruthless and cunning, and he was neither.
Yeah. He was your basic megalomaniac. I mean, he was one car ride with his tongue hanging out away from being the Korga on Highlander. I mean, which. Usually every bad guy devolves into after a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe we'll find out in a future season that He was only nearly beheaded.
Like nearly headless Nick?
Right. They just took the pieces and chucked them into the pit, and it just reassembled.
Well, you know what CW show that came back was surprisingly pleasant last week is sort of in aspects was Legends was actually on point.
It was on fleek.
Maybe I'm not going to say that though. I'm not into your urban lingo.
It was good. I guess
I liked all the nods they made to the Lucas film universe, like with the trash compactor and, you know, whatever other things that I'm not remembering at the moment.
I would have liked to have seen them plant the seed of him redoing everything too. Somehow, you know, giving him the idea of, oh, by the way, you know, you should always keep trying to make it better.
Yeah.
Go ahead. The only criticism I had on it, which, I mean, obviously that was an episode that touched close to everyone's geek heart because of the George Lucas aspect.
Yeah,
sure.
But I can see Raiders of the Lost Ark inspiring, what's his name, the metal guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name right now either.
Oh, my God.
If only we had internet references for things. But continue talking.
I'm busy starting up a new Minecraft server. What do you want?
Continue talking and I will look it up for you.
Okay. So I can see that inspiring him to be an historian. That makes sense. That's logical.
Sure.
But the Adam didn't become an engineer because he didn't see Star Wars, where it's like, I would think he'd be more influenced by Star Trek to be an engineer, not Star Wars.
Apparently he was influenced by Star Wars. So it is what it is. I mean, yeah, I see the parallels, but at the same time, that's the way they decided to write it. Nate Hayward.
Mm-hmm. Nick Zano.
Yeah, that's...
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good episode. That's just my only criticism.
Yeah. I mean, on the same token, while they say that, you know, Nate was inspired to become a historian because of Raiders of the Lost Ark, I also had previously got the impression that he was also inspired by knowing that his grandfather was a hero, was the, you know, captain or Commander Steele or whatever his name was.
Yes.
So it seems like they're sort of
diminishing.
Well, they're not sticking to their own story. Like they're being revisionist with their own history to suit the episode plot line.
A CW DC show changing their stories.
How many times have they, you know, conveniently came up with some reason that someone couldn't use their abilities in an episode.
That's, exactly.
Seems to be an ongoing theme of conveniently restricting the costs to their budget.
Well, I mean, Nate himself, you would think that, you know, okay, there's danger around. Why do I keep depowering? You know, you'd think that he would always be, you know, Commander Steele or whatever, you know, as soon as things started going bad. But, you know, he's like always, you know, up, down, up, down, up, down.
Maybe it feels weird and he doesn't want to stay that way at all times.
Yes. And then
people look at him funny.
And of course, we skipped over Monday.
Right. There was a
Supergirl lived.
Supergirl, yeah.
I actually liked that episode.
I had mixed feelings about it.
It seemed more solid than a lot of the others, though, to me. I don't know why.
I will say it did leave some open questions, which is not often the case with an episode. I didn't particularly care for the dynamic between Alex and her girlfriend and the whole, like, her, you know, rejecting her girlfriend's affection because things were going wrong. I didn't like that aspect.
That was kind of
confusing. But it just
doesn't feel natural to me.
It didn't. No, I'll agree that it didn't feel natural in the episode, but I have known people like that when, you know, they're happy and all of a sudden something goes really wrong, they blame them being happy on it. And
well, we're not talking about when you look in a mirror, Dave. I mean,
I'm just saying that if
Whoa.
I would think it would be more normal in the situation, I'm just going to breeze right past that. I could see her being like angsty and vexed by the situation, but like, and to push her away
that much
in the
right.
moment. But not necessarily like, I don't know if this is going to work out kind of push her away. Just like, I need some space to figure out some things kind of push her away. Which wouldn't be the whole, you know, sky is, you know, falling version of pushing someone away.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Still, it was...
Like, like Curtis finding out, Curtis's husband finding out he's Mr. Yeah. Terrific and ending the
marriage.
And he
didn't make a sandwich this week. I'm really disappointed. And I predicted it in everything, and he let me down.
But that goes back to the whole no superhero can have a healthy relationship problem. You know, I just don't see any superheroes that have healthy relationships because the writers are too lazy to try and write, you know, episodes where that where.
No, no, it's not lazy. It's not lazy.
It's on purpose.
Yes,
they don't want their heroes to be happy and complacent because it doesn't, because it's not dramatic.
Right.
No, but that's the thing though. If you're a good writer, you wouldn't need that kind of conflict in order to make things can be dramatic and exciting and the hero can be under stress.
Arrow, though.
What's that?
Have you watched the last four seasons of Arrow? That is like the theme music of that entire show.
Have you read a comic book?
Yeah. Well, again, well, comic books, yeah, you have the problem of.
Yeah, comic books are even more, you know, soap opera-y than what we're watching on television right now.
Remember Hal Jordan found his girlfriend in a refrigerator. So, I mean, come on. Like,
that was a dark era of comics.
So it's, you know, it's tough to be in a relationship and be a superhero. That's the rules.
Definitely. I thought that Kevin Smith did a decent job with the episode. That particular scene bugged me, and that lower plot point in general.
Well,
the whole sand, like silica thing, I thought was a weak explanation.
It really was. Oh, there's some dust in there that I'm allergic to. Rolls.
Right.
Dice.
I mean, why couldn't you just put on a respiration mask of some sort and go with the team? You know who else tends to generally be have reactions, bad reactions to too much silica exposure? Humans.
Yeah. Well, and then the win, like the total over drama of him not wanting to go, I felt was a little out of character as well.
Well, I get it. He tried to hear up for a moment. He hesitated, got knocked out, and nearly got shot, but he lived.
Mm-hmm.
And I could get it if it was, here's my problem. I would get it if he was still working at the newspaper or the magazine at Catco. But he's been working for the DEO for, you know, all of this season and helping out, you know, pretty close to danger for good portions of last season. So this is not the first time he's literally been in the crossfire.
Right.
So it did feel a little bit forced in that respect.
Yes. So, you know, I was waiting for him to go, I'm not even supposed to be here today, but that, you know, that's.
I did like how Supergirl handled things. I liked Mon-El's part in things. I'm interested to see how things play out with those aliens that apparently are protecting Mon-El. That's a really weird situation, and I'm curious where that's.
Although it was kind of obvious when they bowed to him and Supergirl was right there in the background, glancing back and forth and didn't quite notice the, you know, plot point going on.
Well, you know, it's that is another common issue. People don't notice the things they don't want people to notice.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's just as easy to have them in a completely different room, but no, we'll have them in the background and just not see.
Yeah.
Yes. She just happens to be looking a different direction.
Yeah. But do you think Mon-El is actually the prince or something?
I mean, I guess it's possible. I don't know. Like, it didn't seem like my issue with that is there was nothing in that scene where he escaped that would suggest that he had, like, any sort of heritage other than being just sort of secondary, like, buddy to the prince kind of situation or body.
If you look back at that scene, though, it could be read as he was the prince and the other guy was the bodyguard.
I doubt it because he was trying to program the ship to help the prince escape. And then the prince threw him into the ship. I mean, who I'm presuming is a prince.
But there was a
predication that the other guy was more important. And Mon-El got, you know, pushed into the ship instead and sent off in his place. And he felt guilty about it.
I don't know.
So my point is, if he's someone important, as far as Daxon is concerned, I don't think he knows it. Like, if he was actually an heir to the throne, maybe right. he was being kept in the dark on the matter.
True. That's very possible. I don't know where they're going to go with this. I mean, well, you're the DC expert, John.
Right. Bring us the information, man.
I got nothing. No, I mean, seriously, they changed so many of the storylines in these shows that anything I come up with will probably only mislead us. Yeah. But it just the way I look back at that scene, and it could be read that he was the prince and he was trying to save his bodyguard because he's just a good guy.
I'd have to watch it again. You're not convincing me at the moment.
I know.
But, you know. Speaking of misdirecting plot lines, should we also talk about The Flash while we're at this?
Sure, why not? So I was about to say, I was going to ask you guys, so is the future written in stone or can it be changed?
It seems to be suggested that it can be changed according to the most recent episode of The Flash.
Yes, I agree.
Or they're just not very observant the first time through.
Yes, I agree.
And the fact that the fastest man alive can't even save his girlfriend when there's two of them present. It's pretty sad. I don't care how fast Savitar is. He wasn't moving with super speed when he killed Iris. One of those two berries should have been able to save her the first time.
You would think, but no.
But that didn't fit the storyline they wanted to write.
No, exactly. And it was like, that's, I mean, oh, I hate that on every time that happens on the show. Because it's happened a couple of times where he kind of freezes and goes, no, and watches something happen in front of him.
Standoff moments where, you know, he can run across the country in a matter of seconds, but, like, he can't run over and grab whoever is about to get phased through or stabbed, you know, in that heartbeat before it happens.
Right.
Well, that's because Savitar could do the stabbing at that range much faster than he can do the running.
I guess so, but he didn't, and Barry didn't try.
Yeah, well, who cares?
Just pointing that out. And also, apparently, I love the MacGuffin of throwing in news stories that none of us saw, you know, last at the mid-season cliffhanger. It's like, oh, well, I remember there was a news story about this, you know, whatever, the plunderer being put in jail. Like, and you're like, what? That didn't happen. Like, but apparently it did now. And then they went and vibed to see the rest of the stories.
Yes.
Because that's the thing now. Vibe can vibe himself the future.
Well, because Barry was there.
Yeah, but that basically makes him omnipotent.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Barry can run as fast as he wants to and travel through time anytime he wants to.
Yeah.
Like, he's run back into the past and saved his mom three times now. And he's... Only once has he needed aid to do that. Like, he could do that any time to run to the future as well.
You know, at one point he's going to go into the future and he's going to see two versions of himself sitting there eating popcorn, just watching.
Like, don't worry, we're going to see for the next time.
Right, yeah. but that's true. Like, why did he need Vibe to vibe him into the future if he could just have ran into the future again?
Because he wanted to astral project so he could just see what was happening.
One version of myself sitting there elbowing the other one. Hey, remember when this happened?
Well, and that's true too. You know, eventually there'd be too many Barrys at that point in time.
Yeah. We've already talked about the fourth Barry.
Yes.
breaking the fourth Barry. Yeah. But, so yeah, I don't know. It seems interesting. I'm not a huge fan of that plot line. I'm actually excited for the episode that's coming up because I'm more intrigued by what the story is going on with HR and his origins.
Mm-hmm.
And they're introducing the bounty hunter that's coming for him is Gypsy.
Right.
And you know what I find funny about that? What I find funny about the fact that they're introducing Gypsy as a character. So it was not long ago, like shortly after I think we joked about this being like the Great Lakes Avengers version of the Justice League when they did the whole crossover thing. I happened to come across an article that was like some of the worst teams in comic book history, and one of them was the Detroit Justice League.
What?
There was actually a team called the Detroit Justice League, and it wasn't really literally called that, but it was basically the team relocated to Detroit, and the only original member was the Martian Manhunter, and he basically put together a team of all these other characters that involved Vibe and Gypsy and Vixen and basically, most, like a handful of the other ones that are on the shows right now.
So basically everybody that's died.
No, everyone that's in the CW shows, for the most part.
Detroit Justice League.
Well, yeah, I guess they've died. Yeah, it was Justice League Detroit. Look it up.
Oh, my God.
Zatanna was in there, too, an elongated man. Yeah, all the third stringers, basically.
Exactly. So, but I just found it funny how well that aligned to what we have right now in this, you know, ersatz Justice.
So if elongated man shows up on one of these shows this season...
That's, we know where it's going.
Yes. They all go, let's move to Detroit.
You'll find out Detroit was just like around the corner from where they are.
Even better.
That's where the hangar is.
The hangar of justice. Yes. Oh man. That's good to know. I Justice League Detroit. I like that.
Speaking of Justice Leagues that are, in a bad way. Actually, I wanted to say, I actually watched the first three episodes of Justice League Action.
Okay.
I'm
not going to disown you yet.
I like it.
Okay.
I'm actually really freaking surprised that I like it. It is nothing like Teen Titans Go.
All right.
I did not expect that.
How long are the episodes?
Half hour.
Okay.
It's basically, they're basically being set up as you take an hour long episode, you cut out everything. You cut out everything that isn't a fight, and you're only left with the fight.
Okay.
I mean, the very first 2 minutes is basically, oh my God, they're chasing me, I have to go. Or, oh my God, this happened, I have to go punch something.
Right.
And that's it. And it's all fight. That's all it is.
So it's minimal. So it's essentially like, it's a hero villain death battles.
Pretty much.
Without the death part.
Yeah. So, all right. I mean, yeah, was Superman versus Lobo and Wonder Woman and Batman versus some fifth string bad guy who was, you know, some kind of lava guy. And what was his name? Firestorm versus some nuclear powered androids. And
of course.
The storyline's actually held up pretty damn good. The voice acting is good. There's nothing that's overtly kid based. It's not like, you know, the Teen Titans Teen Titans Go, you know, flashing red.
Well, but that's the whole thing. The fact that it's all mostly action and very little storyline.
That's what I loved about Young Justice is it actually had plot points and it actually had good character. I mean, still, if you were to stand the two seasons of the Young Justice that existed against any of the seasons of the current CW shows, they had way more character development and plot lines and depth.
Oh, they did. But the surprising thing is there's some character development in this, even in the restricted time that they have.
Right.
And the characters are still basically the characters themselves. They're not cutting any quarters on this. The only thing they've cut down is the time, basically. So I'm actually going to keep watching it because I'm interested to see where it goes. If it devolves or if they pull like a Michael Straczynski and start adding more and more plot into it over time.
But what I was getting at is my guess is the reason it's more action oriented is to sell action figures to kids.
True. But the action isn't stupid action. It's not like the Teen Titans Go Spaz Hour.
Teen Titans Go is fun.
Oh,
so
yeah. I'm going to have to disown both of you now.
So is it the whole Justice League in the show?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're only getting because again they cut down
you're
the time.
You're getting spotty characters per episode.
Yeah, so
no overarching cohesiveness to them. It's just sort of one-off stories.
Right. No,
there is an overarching story. There's an overarching story of some kind of supervillain. Now I saw episode 1, 2, and 3. There seems to be some. They seem to be alluding to something that happened before episode 1. I don't know if there was an episode 0 or what. I gotta see if I can find it. But it seems like a bunch of supervillains broke out of some high security prison, and they're slowly finding some of them.
So which is better, this new Justice League show or Friendship is Magic?
Oh, I have to go with Friendship is Magic.
Okay,
sorry.
I'm just trying to measure the bar.
I need to disown John. So anyway,
no, that's based on writing, man. I would put the writing for FIM up against like the old Bugs Bunny cartoons anytime.
Anyway, is Green Lantern in this show?
Haven't seen him yet. All I've seen is Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, and Firestorm. And Hawkman was in there too, actually.
I wonder who they get to voice him if he was on there.
That's a good question. You know, well, and would they go
Nathan Fillion? Is that what? Or
would they go Hal Jordan or
would they go John Stewart?
John Stewart, or they go both?
Well, they went with Hawkman, so maybe they're gonna go with Guy Gardner. Who knows?
Then I definitely won't watch. But speaking of the Emerald Ring, the shortlist for Hal Jordan for the Green Lantern Corps has been released.
And I've heard it been debunked, though, but it is an interesting list nonetheless.
Yeah, well, we still should talk about it. Somebody somewhere.
Right, somebody leaked this list.
Right.
Others who, you know, people on the list have said, I've never been talked to about this, so I don't think that's likely. But it's still an interesting list.
Well, specifically, yeah, Armie Hammer said he wasn't, no one ever approached him. But I also think...
I could see him playing, what's his face? Guy Gardner.
poor Armie.
That's complimentary on my part. Continue.
Okay, so... So we've got this list, and I'm sure everyone at this point has read the list, but we're going to go through these choices. Some of them are... What?
You want me to read the list?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So the supposed list of choices to play the part of Hal Jordan, specifically, in this Green Lantern Corps, which may have who knows which Green Lanterns, includes Tom Cruise.
Oh, God, no.
Sorry. Joel McHale. Bradley Cooper. Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, God.
Armie Hammer and Jake Gyllenhaal.
So, right away, I don't think anyone, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's a bad actor, but I don't think anyone wants Tom Cruise to play Hal Jordan.
No, not Hal Jordan.
No, we don't want to bring religion into it, definitely.
I mean, I have a soft spot for Mission Impossible movies.
Mm-hmm.
I really like those. I watch them when they come along.
The soft spot between your ears.
Perhaps. I'll take that.
I like the Mission Impossible movies too, so.
And I'm actually kind of hoping that the new Mummy movie might be decent.
Decent, yeah.
No, I can't. Sorry.
It's the start of their monster universe. I'm hoping.
Yes.
Against hope that there's going to be something redeeming. And so anyway, but the point is Tom Cruise has a place. He has a fit to a type of movie. And I don't think this is it.
No.
And I definitely don't think this is the role. Like, if he were to play a superhero character, I don't think it would be a Green Lantern. I don't think it's the right fit.
No, and he's kind of too short, but...
Yeah, I think that's a problem with Jake Gyllenhaal for that role, too.
Yes. I don't know. I'm trying to picture Jake Gyllenhaal in the role. I don't know. I don't really...
Yeah.
Have a huge issue with it, but
yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't think Armie Hammer is a strong enough fit for that role either.
Poor guy, he was supposed to be Batman.
Yeah, and look, I like him in almost any other role. Honestly, like I think he could play. Like I said, he could play Guy Gardner. I think he could play if they ever put a Green Arrow in a cinematic universe. I think he could play that part. But I don't think he could do Hal Jordan.
All right.
Amongst these choices, and first. Like, amongst these choices, Bradley Cooper seems like the best fit option in this list.
There's one issue with that.
Well, he is kind of tied up with Marvel stuff at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's a voice part. I think he could double duty.
True, but we don't know what the contracts are like. That
them from being able to cross those aisles. I think he'd be able to.
Yeah, maybe. I guess too, especially going back to the fact that it is a voice part, so you're not seeing Bradley Cooper's face as Rocket, you're just hearing his voice. I think it'd be a little different if he was, say, Captain America. They might have an issue with it then.
Yeah, perhaps.
And
Joel McHale just feels like, it feels like they'd be doing like the B-movie version of the first one. Like, it seems like we couldn't afford Ryan Reynolds, so we're going to replace him with Joel McHale.
I still can't see Joe.
I like him.
Yeah, but I still can't see Joe McHale and not think Talk Soup.
See, I think of you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's hard to think of him in a role that requires him.
Yeah. No. I think you're right. He's the hello, Ryan Reynolds. But then,
right.
That's the.
But that gets to the elephant in the room,
or the elephant on the list.
Right. I mean, the fact that he would be even on this list is kind of mind-blowing. Because I know that they don't want to do any sort of continuation of that previous movie. And they definitely don't want to do a repeat, like, along those lines. And they're already being criticized enough for all the other movies they've been doing and putting out.
So,
like, they're under a microscope right now.
I believe the comment that I heard earlier today was Ryan Reynolds, at this point, would probably rather be waterboarded for 10 hours straight and then shot in the head than play Green Lantern again. But
which, funny enough, is part of the plot of the next Deadpool movie.
But he did say that after the next Deadpool... Is he still claiming that after the next Deadpool, he's done with superhero movies?
I didn't hear that specifically. I know that he's doing Deadpool 2. I know that he loves that role. So it would be surprising to me if he made that choice.
Yeah.
But
he's done with them depending on how Deadpool 2 does.
Yeah. I think, to be fair to Ryan Reynolds and the movie, I don't think Ryan Reynolds was the reason that the Green Lantern movie failed.
Right.
No, it was the CGI.
And the writing.
The writing.
And the film. And the cinematography. And the directing. Right. Yes. And every other character in the movie.
Right. I mean, just the fact that they tried to throw way too much into the first movie was mind-boggling.
Right, that was at least 2 to 3 movies worth of material that they tried to jam-pack in one.
Right.
Sorry, I think Kilowog nailed it, though.
Kilowog was pretty good. I'll give you Kilowog. But, like, the Sinestro arc could have been stretched out over multiple movies. Mm-hmm. They didn't need to do both Parallax and Hector Hammond.
Right.
Yeah, and why? And Parallax, why was Parallax a smoke monster? Why are we always going with the big holes in the sky or the smoke monsters? I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't know. Because Galactus in that form was so successful.
And why was this? And why was the suit animated?
Actually, that was my least problem. You know, that's the smallest problem on my list. I actually thought it made sense for it to be animated because it was essentially projected at will.
Okay.
I just think they could have done a better job at it. It was kind of like the whole active light show thing going on. I don't think was necessary.
Right. So,
well, that is the movie where he got to play next to his future wife, Blake
Lively.
That's true. That's where he met her, I think.
You're probably right.
But at the time of this...
They rehearsed that scene in the locker room quite a few times.
But at the time of this recording, Ryan Reynolds is not available for comment on this.
Yes, especially not on this show.
No. Wait, what? Hold on. Hey, you're saying we can't get Ryan Reynolds?
Today,
okay.
Not yet, no.
Yes. but again, I don't think he would disagree with the waterboarding comment.
Yeah.
Though
I can't fault him
to build onto his, John's... no more superhero movies comment. You kind of wonder, see, they got to do what they wanted with Deadpool and it was a success. So you have to imagine Fox is now putting their mitts into the movie a little bit more. And I wonder if that's causing issues where now he's like, okay, I'm done. You know,
I think it's too early to make any of those statements. I think it's conjecture at best. I mean, I know they had to switch directors, but, that was really had less to do with the studio, and as I understand, more to do with disagreement between Ryan Reynolds and the director on the direction of things. so Ryan got what he wanted.
so yeah, all right. I think we
any other battles within the superhero realm we would like to talk about?
Well, I mean, there's not much. No more DC news. I think we're talking about.
No, not really.
We could
marvel over some other properties.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Cloak and Dagger. They have cast the lead roles for Cloak and Dagger.
Yes.
See, now I think that I don't know how they're going to replace Dabney Coleman. But
he would be a difficult man to replace in his.
They could CGI him though. I mean, you know, they did.
He was imaginary to begin with, so it would fit.
Yep.
So, I
don't think Dave means that Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah, so on the Cloak and Dagger based on the Marvel comic book character TV show that's coming to Freeform, obviously...
Previously known as ABC Family.
Yes, Dagger will be played by Olivia Holt and Cloak by Aubrey Joseph. Or is that backwards? Olivia's a...
That's right. Okay. Yeah, that's right. I know,
they're both female sand names.
Seem like a female name. But it's also a dude's.
Well, I listened to a podcast. Yeah. One of the hosts' name is Aubrey, and it's a girl, so that's why I'm confused. Yes, shout out to So Wizard. So anyway,
So yes, so Aubrey Joseph is playing Tyrone Johnson, also aka Cloak, and Ellie Holt will be playing Tandy Bowen, aka Dagger.
Yes, and so it's going to be on. Now, see, I haven't watched the channel since they changed the name, but is it still like ABC Family? So it's still more of a family form.
I would imagine so. Like, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably, like, while they are heroes, like, you know, with superpowers, A, it's probably not going to cross over with any other Marvel shows. It's going to be its own little pocket universe. And B, it's going to probably mostly deal with high school level drama.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. And the actress is like 19.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that said, I'm willing to give it a try. Mm-hmm. Like, I like these characters, even though they were never really given their due a lot in the comics. Although I have to say their run in the Ultimate Universe in the past couple of years was really solid, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A really good reimagining of them. But yeah, I always found them to be interesting tertiary Marvel characters that I would like to see fleshed out. So I'm going to give them... I'm optimistic.
Right. And then I'm wondering if they're going to, like, deal with the runaway aspect of the characters.
That's a good question.
Or if they're
go ahead.
Or if they're just going to be, you know, high school students, you know, or do they run away because they discover their powers and, you know, people don't accept them?
Well, they could base it on the way that they were depicted in the Ultimate Marvel Universe, which in that storyline, the way that they got their powers was through. They were selected for experimentation by the Roxxon creation. And the way that they got access to them is they were both, like, going to high school prom, got in a bad car accident, both were in, like, near critical condition and comatose, and their parents were told that they weren't going to make it and that they, you know, would have to make the decision to pull them off life support. And so they did, but they weren't actually fatally wounded. And so they basically declared them legally dead, yanked them out of there and secretly did experiments on them.
They pulled a RoboCop.
That old story.
Right. That old story. Yeah. You know, tale is old as time. so I'm just saying, they could go that route and have them become essentially fugitives who can't go back to their families, otherwise they would put them in danger.
So, like the playing on the old Hulk live action show where he's on the run.
Right, the drifter
right. aspect of it.
Yeah.
I see.
I'm curious, though, what supporting characters and villains they would have access to for this show. Like, are they going to have to make up characters, or are they going to be scraping, like, really deep in the Marvel barrel for a handful of canon characters to play around them?
That's a good question. Again, I mean, is it going to be its own thing? Is it going to be
It's an ABC channel that could technically cross it over with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Inhumans.
Right. And the article that I read doesn't say it, but kind of hints, you know, at that, because they mention Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Inhumans in the same article, you know, and that they're all, you know, they're all being run by Marvel Television and Jeff Loeb. So it's like...
Right. So there is a possibility there that they could get some crossover there. Maybe what they might do is they'll find a way, since they've never got anywhere with the, what was it, Marvel's Most Wanted, the spinoff that they were supposed to do with Black Canary, Mockingbird. And Lance Hunter. Maybe this will be a new place for them to pull those characters in.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm still ticked about that.
Yeah, I know, I like those characters a lot.
And they left the show, they wrote them off the show, and they left the show because they were supposed to start their own show, and then they canceled their show, and
they got screwed out of it.
They never brought the actors back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they wrote them out in a way that made it really difficult to bring them back.
Then, but they could do it now. Because of the circumstances. Because, you know, maybe. It's all back on the up and up again.
Yeah.
They can figure out a way.
Perhaps. But, you know, if they did go the whole, you know, Drifter Hulk route, they would be a good fit for that as, like, Rogue mentors out on the run.
Right. Well, I don't know if Rogue needs mentors, and I don't think she's going to be in the show. But it's
But, you know, we could... That's a good segue there, Dave. You're on point with your segue game today, Dave.
But she might show up in the new X-Men TV show, which we know nothing about other than making one.
Right.
Except we learned today the pilot episode is going to be directed by Brian Singer. Dun, dun, dun. Oh.
So it's doing to begin with. Yeah, no, wait. We're supposed to like that, right? No, I don't.
I don't know.
It's back and forth. Like, he's done some good X-Men movies, but he's also done some not so good X-Men movies.
Exactly.
So I really don't know whether I should be happy about that. I don't know.
Well, I mean, is it like Star Trek, where every other one is good and the ones in between are bad?
It could be. And we don't know. We won't know anything, because right now we don't even know what characters are involved in this show.
Right. We don't know the characters. We don't know the storyline. We don't know, like, is it, because they say X-Men TV show, but that could just mean it takes place in the X-Men universe. So it could be X-Force. It could be, you know, any of those offshoot X-Men teams.
Right.
It could be a pocket universe that isn't related to the movies at all. It could be an offshoot of the movies. Who knows?
It could be Excalibur. It could be Alpha Flight. It could be the Canadian team.
Whoa.
That would be funny.
The Canadian team? Alpha Flight?
Yeah. Sasquatch and a few others. I forget who was on that. It's like some Canadian star guy.
Star guy.
I don't know.
Canadian version of basically Captain Britain.
I'm only remembering the covers that probably got down in my basement. I don't even think I ever read the book. I just bought a few and it was in my pile.
He bought it for the artwork.
Yes, I know. Just like his Playboys. I mean,
no, that was a Marvel swimsuit issue.
You're not helping your argument.
I know.
Yeah. Well, it's a step up. So,
okay.
Speaking of stepping up.
Stepping up?
I mean, someone's going to have to be stepping up in the next Star Wars movie.
You missed a piece of Marvel news, but we'll go into that.
There. See it on this list.
It wasn't important, so we'll go into that. So.
Ooh.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Ooh.
So the official title was released. We haven't talked about it yet on the show. Of the new Star Wars movie coming out this year. And that is The Last Jedi.
So they're letting George Lucas direct it?
Actually, you know what I saw? That was really funny. Someone put together the title screens. So that they released the official title screen with Star Wars in red with The Last Jedi written between, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have the previous one in yellow with The Force Awakens. So someone put together, made a third one for Episode 9 in blue, and then put in between it, From His Nap. So if you read it across, it says, The Force Awakens,
The Last Jedi, From His Nap.
Nice.
So what we've had this discussion offline quite a few times. What do we think The Last Jedi means?
It means that George Lucas is directing.
So that's my thought.
Yeah.
What I think, I'm the optimist. You know, when it comes to this, I'm optimist that they know what they're doing. And so you look at the story arc so far. You look at the prequels and the underlying theme of the prequels that everyone was so gung-ho about Anakin being the one to bring balance to the Force is, I think everyone was wrong in that they were absolutely right. They thought he was supposed to bring balance to the Force, but they didn't know what that meant. And I think he did. He was successful in bringing balance to the Force. Because the Force is not just the Jedi Order, it's also the Sith. And prior to him coming along, the Jedi Order was large, and the Sith were two. And at the end of Episode 3, there were two Jedi, and there were two Sith.
That's kind of a salted earth kind of
thing. I understand. But what I'm saying is, I think that there's a longer story arc here that we're not seeing yet that's going to come out to play in the next few movies. And I think what that story is that, so you saw in The Force Awakens, you know, that Kylo Ren was sort of, you know, he said that he's set out to finish what his grandfather started, right? What Darth Vader had started. And we assume that that's nefarious and that's a negative thing. But it could be a warped version of that goal of actually bringing balance to the Force, in that eventually he plans to overthrow Snoke and bring the Jedi and the Sith together so that neither exists and they go forward as one cohesive practice in the Force that includes both the dark and the light.
So basically a Jedi who can throw Force lightning.
Yeah, but not so simplistic and trivializing.
but awesome. Yeah, seriously though, did you either read the Extended Universe novels that came out?
No. TLDR.
Okay.
And also they are no longer canon, so it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. Some of them are no longer canon. And they were, but yeah, but there was a lot of the ones that I didn't read all of them because there were quite a few actually. But the ones that I did read were all alluding to something like that, where I think some of the characters were starting to play around with the idea of, yeah, I can use Force Lightning and it doesn't make me evil. But
right. And even from what I understand, even the shows have sort of played into that area with the cartoon, the Rebels cartoon.
Yeah.
The idea of like Darth Maul and the whatever the main kid have sort of been comparing notes a bit and dealing with whatever those Jedi Horcrux things are.
The one thing they've ever really explained though is that no matter whether it was the extended universe or the new universe that they're creating, there always seems to be this element of if you do certain things, even if you're not killing people, you're more susceptible to angry outbursts, or you know, it's something you start to lose yourself. So right. I'd like to see how they explain that, you know, why that is, and that it's not just a matter of you're evil, you like to kill people, so of course you're going to be a Sith.
No, I think it's a matter of, you know, power corrupts, right. and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. So the Force is a very powerful thing, and it's going to be a corrupting influence. You're going to have this power, and unless you keep it in check, it's going to corrupt you, and it's going to cause you to do things that you might not normally do in other circumstances.
Yeah, but not everybody would be susceptible to that. That's the thing.
Right? You know? I understand that, and that's why some Jedi had no problem with that balance, with holding it all in check. Others, like Anakin, really couldn't do it. He lost his shit.
Yeah. But the thing is, it didn't seem like it was a balance of the person. It's like there's some outside influence to their emotions when they did certain things that were quote unquote the dark side. So that's what I'd really be interested in to see a final explanation.
So, in the, I think in the novelization of, what was the third movie? Revenge of the Sith. They talk about, Samuel Jackson's character, Mace Windu. And that Mace Windu is a character who,
turned from the dark side.
He used principles that they used on the dark side, you know.
Oh, he was a gray staff.
Right. There you go. He was a gray staff. That's a good way of putting it. So even though he was a good guy, that's why,
that's why he had a purple,
it's why he had a purple lightsaber, and it's also why he was able to reflect the Force Lightning, because he understood the Force Lightning. Right. So, you know, was he a character that brought balance to the Force? One of the things, too, that everyone keeps focusing on is they keep saying the Last Jedi, and they're trying to figure out who's the Last Jedi. But what's the plural of Jedi, guys?
Jedders?
it's like deer and moose.
Yes, Jedi. So
it's its own plural.
So it could mean Rey and Luke.
Could mean multiple people. Yeah.
It could be the restarting of the Jedi Order. You know, not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying that that's what it could mean as well.
Well, nice. I really hope they're not father and daughter.
They don't have to reproduce with each other to make more Jedi.
Yes.
That's not how
the Force works.
I mean, Kylo Ren has Force powers, and his father wasn't Force sensitive.
Right. True.
Don't argue with that. I'm wrong on that point.
I don't know. We might get a Han Solo Force Ghost.
Only somebody with the Force could have lived as long as Han Solo and did so many stupid things.
Well, we have yet to find out when they do the anthology movie on it.
Yes, that is true.
I doubt that will be revealed.
Yeah.
So I like your idea, but I don't know if that's really the direction they're going to go. There's rumors that are floating around that Kylo Ren and Rey will have a role reversal. In this movie.
Oh, man. They're going to pull a CW? Now I'm evil, now you're good?
Right.
I mean, exactly. Rey will be seduced by the dark side, and Kylo will
be seduced by the good
prove
side.
Himself to be a good guy.
Something like that.
Will come around.
Even though I don't know how you can redeem yourself after you killed your father in cold blood.
Yeah,
well, again, I'm not convinced that he did that for his own purposes. I think he did that for his own... He did for Snoke.
So the
I thought was, he did it for it Harrison theater. Ford.
No, it was theater. I think he did that. It was an act of theater. It was an act of accepting his position as a Sith. You know, as a Sith, you have to, you know, do certain things to fulfill your destiny. And I think that that was something he had to do for Snoke to see him as legitimate. And that's why I think he asked his father for help in that moment. And that's how he wanted him to help him.
No, and I understand that. And a lot of people have floated that theory around. But that's another thing, too, is people keep saying Sith with him, but he's never called a Sith.
No, you're right.
You know, and what is Snoke? Like
Snoke, yeah, I don't know.
We've only seen him in a holographic projection. We don't know what his powers are, what he do.
Yeah, all we know
is how tall he is.
He's got a huge scar on his forehead. You know who else probably has a huge scar on his forehead?
Stormtrooper that ran into the door. I've seen that meme floating around this week, too. It all makes sense.
Yep, it adds up.
He bumped his head.
Anyway.
The Emperor said, I'll show you how to take care of the pain using the Force, and thus he became a dark side user.
Snoke.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I think it's going to be John's going to end up being the last guy.
Maybe.
Well, if so, I wear a cape.
Yeah, I could see that. They do like capes.
Capes are cool. And a fez. Fez is cool.
I feel like I'm being...
A fez, a bow tie, and a cape.
I feel like I'm being set up for...
It's a possibility. I don't know. We'll have to talk about it next
time. Oh, okay. Well, then, you know, until then, boys and girls, it just feels like we're just kind of like ending the conversation. Until next time, boys and girls, keep your fez on your head and don't let your cape caught in the door. Have a good week.